Love that song. Glad he did it for me, aren't you? If you want your Bibles tonight, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and some real familiar passage. We've preached on it before, and this will be kind of getting into the new year, thinking upon New Year's resolutions. And I generally have two or three every year that I put down on paper usually, and I think it's a good thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's good to have some goals for the new year. None of us have arrived. None of us got to that point where we don't need to make some changes. And so as we think about the new year, it'd be good to put down a few things and pray about those and pray for the Lord's strength to do them. As we think about the new year and trusting God for the new year, two or three years ago, our theme was Launch Out into the Deep, and we preached a lot on the word trust. We need to trust the Lord. And the Proverbs and the book of Psalms are just full of the theme of trusting Him. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Y'all know the verses. Verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." And we should not lean until our own understanding. And where we lean is important. And who we lean on is important. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we have You to lean on. And I pray that tonight we would again be reminded that we can trust You. In Jesus' name, amen. I think when we think about leaning, we think about buildings that lean, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, other paint, you know, it's like, I don't know how many times when they were painting the building next door that I leaned into the paint, like, or put my hand on the paint one time. You've got to be careful where you lean. And in our own lives, too many times we lean upon our own understanding, or we lean upon someone else other than Jesus. And we need to remember to lean on Him. And there's many songs I could sing, but for lack of time, we won't do that tonight. But learning to lean on the everlasting arms. And His arms will never fail. His arms will never fail. We need to lean on Him and trust Him. By the way, the results of trusting Him, I'm giving the whole sermon right now. The results of trusting Him is direction in our own lives. He will give us direction. By the way, His direction is better than our direction. And His direction is better than someone else giving us direction. And so, I don't know about you, but I have to be careful with the old GPS system in the car or on the phone, especially on the phone. I was headed up to Michigan this last year for the IBFI conference, and I took my little Miata and I was driving up through there, and it told me to get off and to go about 2 miles and continue on this one road, and then it put me right back on the highway again. I'm like, why? And so the next time I watched it, and when it tried to do it again, I stayed on the highway. I didn't want to get off the highway. And apparently it just wanted me to get off the highway. Now, sometimes it's because of traffic, but I could tell there was no traffic. I'm like, because it tells you that too. Isn't that awesome? It's not red. It's like green or whatever. But you got to be careful who you and what you're leaning on and who you're trusting. Who you're trusting. We can trust in the Lord. As we think about this on a Wednesday night, our trust, we can trust Him, number one, entirely, completely. Our trust, because why? Because our trust is based upon His power. Amen. His power. And realizing, and I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but realizing that His power is unlimited. Unlimited. He is all powerful. All powerful. He made the sun, the moon, and the stars. He made all things. Amen. And He is all powerful. Again, what we conceive of God, or what we perceive about God, what we view God in our own minds, is the most important thing about us, because it determines and affects the outcome or how we react to problems in our own life and how we react to situations in our own life. Is God able to handle that problem in my life? Yes, He's all powerful. He can. And so therefore, understanding that He can be trusted entirely because of His power. The disciples witnessed this power when they saw the many miracles He performed. Whether it was healing the blind or the deaf or the dumb. I mean, Jesus Christ calming the Sea of Galilee, calming the sea. That's pretty awesome. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's pretty awesome. He had control over the weather. He had control over the elements. He had control over everything because he's God. God in the flesh, and he can be trusted. And the disciples recognized that. And we need to recognize his power. Many do not want to recognize his power because they don't want to be under his authority. And so that's a whole nother sermon. But we ought to recognize his power, understand that we can trust him because of it. We can trust him not only because of his power, but because of his person, because of who he is and the work he did on Calvary, and that he lived and he died and he rose again for us that we could have eternal life, and we can have confidence in that we owe it to him. If we love him, we'll keep his commandments. We trust him because we love him, because of his creation, because he has created us, because he came and lived and died and rose again for us, we have confidence in him. This confidence, this trust in him is assured. I don't know about you, but when my kids were smaller, they trusted me. I don't know about now. They trusted me. I could tell them to jump off something, and some of them are more hesitant than others, but most of them, just whatever dad said to do, especially when they're, you know, that 8 months to 2 or 3 years old, it's whatever dad says, jump off something, jump off a house into my arms, you know, get in the whatever, lots of stories. You know, a few times we might have hit a few heads, throwing kids up in the air and ceiling fans. They need to be careful about ceiling fans in bedrooms when kids are small. Then they become a little bit hesitant next time and flinch a little bit. But it's amazing how far you can throw a kid up in the air. Throw them up, wait a couple seconds, turn around, catch them. Because why? Why would they let you do that? Because they trust you. They trust you. They've seen you throw up your older brother, they trust you. That childlike faith, that childlike trust is the faith and trust we need to have in our Savior Jesus Christ. Knowing, again, that he is all-powerful. Knowing, again, that he is in person, the very illustration, he is love. And he loves us and he cares for us. He is the epitome of love. And then we ought to trust him not only based upon his power, his person, we ought to trust him with all our hearts. Have a total commitment to him. Trust in the Lord. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. This is the first and great commandment. The Old Testament repeats it. The New Testament repeats it, that we ought to love God with everything we have. I don't remember if I put it down in here, but I was reading today. Reminded that Brother Bandy, everybody remember Brother Bandy? Miss Bandy still comes to church. She sits right down here on Sunday morning. Brother Bandy was a preacher for years and years and years. And his favorite verse was, "Seek ye first in the kingdom of God and his righteousness." It's putting God first. I'll never forget that as I preached his funeral, remembering here's a man of God who said, my favorite verse is putting God first. May we put God first. Understanding that he loves us. We need to love him with all of our heart. We need to trust him with all of our heart. He that trusteth in his own heart, Proverbs 28 verse 26 says, is a fool. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. We cannot always trust in ourselves. Amen. We cannot always trust what we think is right is the right. We need to trust in the Lord. By the way, we need to trust him in the good and the bad. Right? We need to trust him in our daily lives for everything. Trust him in the trials and trust him in the happy times. That he will and understands and knows exactly where we're at. And I've said it 1,000 times, and I'm learning more and more to take this to heart myself, is that he always has our best interests in mind. Yeah. Always. Because he knows what lies beyond the bend. He knows what lies beyond the curve. I can't see. We have a new car. My wife, well, it's not new anymore. It's a little over a year old. And when you turn the steering wheel, the lights actually turn a little bit. All it is another thing to break down, something else to break on the car, because it really doesn't get you anymore. It just like shows you a little, anyway, it's crazy. But it looks really cool when you do this. because your lights are going back and forth. That's fun. But you can't see around the corner, even with those lights. You have to wait till you get around it to see what's there. But God sees around the corner. And because He can see around the corner, we are to trust Him. We're to trust Him. We rely upon Him, knowing that He knows exactly what's going to happen to us tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And He's the Creator. He's in charge. He knows exactly what's going on, and He's the one allowing it to happen. Again, we are to love Him with all of our heart. He says there, trust the Lord with all thine heart. And I know you get tired of this definition, but it's a great definition. It is a Brother Sturt definition. It is, the heart is the innermost awareness and consequential attitude that results from the collective input of the mind, will, and emotions. I know it's a long definition. I'm going to read it again. The heart. So when the Bible speaks of the heart, like, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That word heart there is not talking about the pumping organ in your chest. As adults, we understand that. Sometimes as kids, have a hard time with that. That's why I always remind you, when you're dealing with kids about salvation, you might be very careful how you use the word heart. Even using the term asking Jesus into your heart with a little kid could foul up what they're understanding. I don't use that term personally. I don't use that phrase. I still believe a kid can be saved using the term, but I don't think it's the clearest way to show a kid and to explain to a child how to be saved. By the way, asking Jesus in your heart, He comes in your heart after you're saved because of salvation. It's not something that... All right? It's the effect of salvation. Asking Jesus in your heart doesn't save you. This is a theological discourse, Brother Zellner. Asking Jesus in your heart does not save you. All right. It's the result of salvation. So we need to be careful how we use the word heart. But the heart is the mind, the will, and the emotions. It's the very seat of who you are. Right? The heart. The mind, the will, and emotions. Let me read the definition again. The innermost awareness and consequential attitude that results from the collective input of the mind, the will, and emotions. It's the inward source of what I'm thinking, feeling, and wanting. In other words, is that the heart is the reasoning part of me. It's the passionate part of me. And it's the part of me which determines what I want, what I need, those things. And so, again, think about this for a moment if you can follow this. We think biblical matters through. So we come with a biblical matter, a biblical subject, such as what we're studying tonight. We can trust the Lord, right? So we think about that. We think about what the Bible says. And as we receive light, it stirs our emotions. All right? So tonight, as I'm preaching on trusting God, it stirs my emotions. So I'm thinking about it. It's affecting the emotional part of me as well. Because if I can really trust Him, that means the things that have happened to me and the things that are going to happen to me are in His hands. That's the thinking part of it, right? My thinking part of me thinks about His creation and how powerful He is and how He knows the beginning from the end. You know, just like the train, He can see the caboose and the engine at the same time, or what used to be cabooses. He sees it all. He sees my whole life, all in one spot. He sees it all. So therefore, I can trust Him. And that moves me emotionally. It can move me emotionally. It can make me cry, it can make me sad, and make me happy, it can, whatever, it moves me emotionally. And then, thirdly, it moves me to make a decision and therefore act upon that decision. I'm trusting in Him. I have an emotional part of that. Sometimes the emotion's sad, sometimes it's happy, whatever it is, and then I act upon those, what I think and what I feel, that I act upon it. And many times, based upon what I think and what I feel, is how I act most of the time, right? So it is important that our thinking is proper and that we have the proper emotions when it comes to it. Does it make sense at all? Sometimes we think through something and then we have an improper emotion about it. Instead of thinking through the matter tonight of trusting God, We can think through the matter in our own life, whatever situation we're in, and we can become mad and then make a wrong decision, and that is to become bitter about a situation in our own life. Right? Hello? Everybody awake? I'm just talking tonight. These are things we all go through, things the pastor goes through, we all go through. We all have to learn through this. Our heart is the thinking part of us, and we need to do our best not to allow the devil and other influences around us to bring us to improper thinking about God and who He is and what He is and what He's done for us and so forth. And then being careful about our emotional response. Here's a proper emotion. You know, we think about losing a loved one. We lose a loved one, we know that God's in control, and that loss does not necessarily mean we don't cry, because crying is, and being sorrowful is a proper response to losing a loved one. But Paul says, sorrow not as others who have no hope. Yeah. Our sorrow is a different sorrow, right? And it's just having the proper emotion to the situation in which God has put us in. Amen? Sometimes it may take a little while to get to the proper emotion, right? And it's asking God, telling God to help you and to lean upon Him. And then acting upon that particular emotion. I think about Miss Pat Shepherd, having the proper attitude through a trial and being an influence on those around you. And you can think through the matter and still have an improper attitude or improper emotion about it that would cause your testimony to be tainted. So you've got to be careful, you know, amen? But it's more than just the testimony. Forget about the testimony. It's more important for you that you have the proper attitude and emotion, so that when you come through it, or when you get to the acting upon it part, that you make the right action. Right? I won't go through some of my thoughts here lately, but, you know, we can have some pretty black thoughts about things you might want to do and do to others. And, you know, you come back and you think it through, and remember the Lord has control. Amen. By the way, we're going to have some sermons like this in the new year too, because I've got to preach to myself more and more often. Think a biblical matter through, and as we receive light. Okay, so here's another thing, another point to this. It's that we receive light, per se, as we read the Bible and we come to a message like this, a sermon, and we receive light. But as we receive more light, as we grow older and learn more, then it enables us to even come to better conclusions, if you would, in emotions in our own life. Right? Better attitude. Ought to. Anytime that cycle doesn't go upward in its trend, it means you did something wrong. Right? So if you go through this trial, and of course you're going to have a down, but when you come to the down part and you're going through that cycle of emotion, thinking, emotion, and acting, and you don't come up out of it. Everybody still with me? Stay with me for just a minute. It's going to make sense in a moment. If you didn't come out of it properly, that means you come back down here and the light hasn't grown. The light hasn't gotten brighter. We can use different phrases. Trust and faith are sister words in the Bible. Right? Remember the guy who came to Jesus said, Lord, increase my faith? So our faith is increased as we go through various situations. It's like exercising, you know. Physically exercising, you grow into something physically exercising, which is I need to do. It's something you train for. It's something God is training us for. And so if you go through a situation and you think it through and your emotions are wrong and you make the wrong action, it's going to put you back down here and you're not going to make the next step. And that's where a person can become bitter, not better. If you find yourself bitter, you find yourself not able to cope with the situation, you find yourself discouraged and depressed, it means you've had the improper emotion. You thought it through. You apparently did not think it through biblically enough. You had the improper emotion, which gave a proper action, an improper action. Am I making sense to anybody? Makes sense on paper. But applying it is hard. It makes sense from the Bible, because I believe the Bible from front to back. I believe every word of it. And I believe the Bible is my best way to live. Period. That's the best for me. Even if I wasn't saved. Living the biblical principles would be better for me than any other principles per se out there. Amen? So I'm going to live by the biblical principles. I'm going to live by the statutes of the Word of God, the commandments of God, by the wisdom of the Word of God, and therefore I'm going to be better because of it. Now, thankfully, I'm saved, and I hold the Holy Spirit living inside of me, who empowers me to live this book. Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you, then you don't have the power to live the book. Right? Because in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Spirit inside of them. They had commandments, but they couldn't keep them because they had no power to keep them. In the New Testament, we have been given the Holy Spirit who abides in us, who empowers us to live the Christian life so that we can. When Jesus said in the New Testament, "Be holy for I am holy," he wouldn't have said it if he thought we couldn't do it. Does that make sense? I even said that kind of wrong, but if he said it, we can do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. So as you go through these full ranges of thinking about the situation you're in, then having an emotional response, and then acting upon that, we need to be very careful. It may mean we need to go back to thinking about the situation again and think it through again in light of the Word of God, in light of an all-powerful Creator, and trust Him rather than our own emotions. Trust Him rather than our own thinking. Trust Him. Lean upon Him. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me." He said, "Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." We need to learn from the Bible, understanding. And I have a message I'm working on this, "Take my yoke upon you." It doesn't mean that we don't have a yoke. That's not what the verse says. It says, take the yoke you have off and put Christ's yoke on, because His yoke is easier. Right? Because wherever you're living and whatever you're doing, if you're carrying the yoke of Jesus, then your life will be easier. Would anybody in here say the life of, what was the man who just came through? We took him on support. We have two of them now, missionaries in the Middle East. Are their lives easier because they said and dedicated their life to go to be missionaries in the Middle East? Or would it be easier to stay here? It would be, it depends on what's here at home. But it would be easier, humanly speaking, to stay here than it would be to go to the Middle East and be a missionary. But not for them, if they're called. Because Christ's yoke is easy, than our own yoke. There's so much more. I want to develop that more. But His yoke is easy. His burden's light. We need to trust in the Lord. It's the key. God is dependable. God cannot lie. He never makes a mistake. He has no ulterior motives. What about that? No ulterior motives. He's never unkind. He loves unconditionally. That's the God we serve. We can trust Him. By the way, He expects us to trust Him. And He expects for that trust to grow. I think in our own marriages we see that. After 24 years of marriage, going on 25, I trust my wife more today than I ever trusted her. And I hope she could say the same. She might not, but she could say the same. In other words, the song says, learning to lean on Jesus. It's a process. And we go through the small problems, and we go to a bigger problem, and we learn through the process to lean more upon Him and trust Him more. When Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." That's a significant amount of trust, considering he lost everything. We ought to trust Him. Trust Him entirely and trust Him exclusively. In other words, don't trust ourselves. Trust no other but Him. Lean not, it says, under thy own understanding. To lean on one's own ability spells defeat and disaster. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 says that we should have no confidence in the flesh. I bring this up every once in a while because it's one of my soapboxes, but the self-esteem movement is nothing but a humanistic movement. We need to be careful how we even use the word self-esteem. Because I absolutely believe if you'll put Christ in His proper spot in your life, your self-esteem will be just fine. If you'll trust in the Lord and put him in his proper spot in your life at the throne of your heart, then your self-esteem will be just fine. It really depends on how you esteem Christ. Because your value is not found in and of yourself. In fact, I'm a zero. But when I put Christ in my life, when Christ comes to my life, I have everything. My value is not dependent upon what others think of me. My value is dependent upon what God thinks of me. And I am in Christ. Amen. And therefore, another whole subject. We need to learn to lean on Him. Not our ability, but His ability. Not our own understanding, but His. Again, I love Dr. Barber's saying, has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? Nothing occurs to God. Nobody teaches Him anything. We learn to trust His wisdom. And again, James tells us that true wisdom comes from God. If any man like wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. And we need to go to Him. By the way, a simple definition of wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. You can have all the knowledge in the world and still not be a wise person. We see a lot of that. I'm not saying you shouldn't get you shouldn't get book smart. You should, but some common sense would help as well. And that's where many times we need wisdom from God. We need to go to Him. Humble ourselves before Him. Cast ourselves before Him. Lord, I can't do this on my own. Lord, I need You. Lord, I'm trusting in You. Many times we have trials come into our life and we reason within ourselves how we can overcome this. I am the master at it. Right? I can sit down. Normally when I lay down at night, I go to sleep. I'm still pretty good at it. I don't usually have pinned up things and just go to sleep, but I do enjoy laying down in my bed and thinking about things for the day. Does anybody else do it that way? I actually enjoy it. It's not a burden to me. And I'll think through things. The building next door and other things that need to be done. It's not cumbersome to me. I know some people it is, but for me it's not, personally. I like to think through things. But sometimes a person who likes to do that will think through things to the exclusion of including God in the thinking. God, I need You. Because I can't figure this out. I don't. I know many times as the church has gone through a few trials and I've had people come to my office and wanting some counsel and whatever. And there's been a few times, more than a few, that I've prayed a prayer something like this at the end of the counseling session. Lord, I have no idea what to tell these people. Lord, but You do. Lord, do what only You can do. Intervene. Amen? Because sometimes we don't have the answers. And God puts us in that position so that we will grow and learn to lean on Him and not our own understanding. We need to have trust in Him, confidence in Him, simple dependence upon Him. Every step in our life, from the biggest things to the small thing, whether it's personal, whether it's finances, whether it's health, whether it's our eternal destination, we need to depend upon Him and take everything to Him in prayer. Again, we think about Brother Bandy. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Putting God first. By the way, everywhere Abraham went, he built an altar. He depended upon God. We must depend upon Him. And the conclusion is, the result is, that He will direct our paths. He will direct our paths. When one obeys the not and lean not, he is guaranteed the presence and provision of God. That's a Dr. Barber quote. When one obeys the not and lean not, he is guaranteed the presence and provision of God. Lean not unto thine own understanding. When we obey that, then we're guaranteed the protection and provision of God. I want God's protection in my life. I want His provision in my life. And to do so, to have those things, I need to learn to lean on Him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That first verse says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He what? Sheds on our way. There's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, shedding the light upon our path, directing us when we lean on Him and don't lean on upon ourselves. Let us learn in the new year to lean more upon Him. Amen? In whatever area of life that may be, leaning upon Him. Let's all stand. Have a verse of invitation. Hymn 155, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these particular verses, and we pray, God, that you would help us to learn to lean on you more every day. And God, that we would properly respond to those trials and testings in our own lives. Help us in this new year. God, help us again to trust you more. In Jesus' name, amen.